I tell you, it's so great to be here. It's very humbling for me. Just so many friends, familiar faces, teachers, professors who are not just professors, but who are friends and who are mentors in my life. And I'm sure that many of you have already found that to be the case. I just praise the Lord for a wonderful family that he's given me. We have a son, Joshua, is 15. Going on 25, and our daughter Hannah, she's our adopted Chinese daughter. She's 7, going on 17, I think. She runs the house. But most importantly, I appreciate my wife Nancy, who's here this morning. And you want to just wave, honey? I appreciate her and a godly wife, dear friend, and my prayer partner. Appreciate her so much. And she takes care of her children, all three of us. So I appreciate her helping at the house. You know, Jesus is the rock, but she's the anchor to the ship, and I appreciate that so much. When I talked to Brother Jay, he asked me to share a little bit about the national office and the ministry of the evangelist. And I don't think I have to tell anybody that today the evangelist role, you know, it's still a gift from God. You know, and so I've heard some people say, you know, the evangelist is really irrelevant today. And I just really struggle with that because, you know, I think people still need to get saved today. I think we still need to help the church embrace the vision and ask the question, how many are not saved in our community? You know, what can we do better to reach our community, to embrace our community, to serve our community? There's so many different venues and avenues that, you know, the evangelistic ministry is valid today. And a lot of times, you know, the term evangelist has really gotten skewed, and you know, now Rick Warren's an evangelist. You know, you can do a search on evangelist on Google, and you know, gosh, IBM has evangelists now, and you know, all the software giants, they have evangelists that are, you know, they're selling their good news. And I'm here to tell you, there's only one version of the good news, and that includes Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So there's a challenge, but my passion is, as the National Evangelist Representative, to really help men and women who've sensed the call. And, you know, I hear the negative on one side, and you know, we have the stigma of those who've fallen in the past, and that is such a hurdle to try to get through. But then again, when I hear people call me and almost weeping, share how God has called them out of a pastoral ministry or youth pastoring or you know, fresh out of college, that they've got to go and preach the gospel. And for me to not be able to share how hard it's going to be, you know, I've got to tell them up front that it's tough. I've got to tell them if there's anything else you can do in life, you better go do it, because it's truly a walk of faith. And you know, in the Western world, we're a little bit different. Mass crusades aren't quite as relevant. But if you go overseas in the developing countries, you know, I love to go to Africa. You can preach anywhere and people will just gather together, and it's legal. You can preach anywhere, in any public building, in any venue, on any street corner. And there's many places in the world like that. So my passion is, with the national office, to try to help empower, encourage, and educate. Those are my three big $60 million words. You know, I really want to help educate and help people learn some of the ropes on the road. I really want to encourage those that, you know, it gets discouraging. And so we have conferences to try to build them up and have dynamic speakers and motivate them and pray the power of the Holy Spirit comes down. And, you know, to also empower them, to give them some tools. You know, we give them free websites to try to help give them an international platform, and we try to give them tools and resources and all those things. And you can visit, I'm not going to spend much time on it. It's evangelist, plural, evangelist.ag.org, if you want to go and visit and browse our website. But my heart is, God's got something going on, and they're God's gifts to the church. And I just don't think that God's going to stand by and say, okay, you don't want them, I'm not going to do anything, I'll just let them fade away. I think God has a weird sense of humor that there's going to be a last days revival, and he's going to raise up men and women like he's doing right now that have a passion and a hunger for God, and they don't care what the cost is, because the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon them, and they've got to preach the word of God. It doesn't matter if they've got to work a secular job all week and travel on the weekend. They're going to do it because God has called them to it. And those are the kind of men and women that are going to make a difference in this country, in other countries, and around the world. Praise the Lord. God is so good, and I just appreciate the opportunity. And it's so big. Can I just ask you to pray for me, if the Lord puts me on your heart? It's so immense and so unachievable in man's eyes. I could never do it, but God can. God begins to bring in finances that from places I never even knew about us. And God begins to have people that call and say, we're praying for you. And God begins to send other people by. And just one thing after another, when you're just about to give up and say, man, maybe somebody else ought to be doing this thing, God brings somebody along to encourage you. And he does that in ministry too, doesn't he? And this morning, I want to share a little bit from the Word. I feel like the Lord's kind of put something on my heart that I want to share with you this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want to read verses 14 through 17, but I really want to focus on verse 14 today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse 14, Paul says this, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God." Can we pray just for a moment? Father, we come to you, Lord, this morning. We just need you, Lord. Lord, I'm so thankful for the gifts and the talents that you've blessed so many with. But Lord, they could fill a thimble compared to the grace and bounty of your abilities. And Father, we need you right now, Lord, to come into each one of our worlds. Lord, there's so much going on in life, in school. Father, in ministry, we just pray, Father, right now, that your Holy Spirit, God, would destroy the works of the enemy. Lord, would you remove those things, Lord, that have tried to trip us up, the snares of the fowler, the power of darkness, even the curses of witchcraft. Lord, would you destroy those things that the enemy has meant to conquer us and to trip us up. And Lord, would you just allow your Holy Spirit, Lord, to have its way. Lord, loose your angels of heaven to come, Lord, and just cleanse this place just for this time. Lord, would you just pour out the oil and the wine this morning, Lord, and allow the words to be spoken to be your words and not man's. Prepare hearts to receive and ears to hear, and we'll be sure to give you all the glory and all the praise. And everyone said, amen. Well, you know, it's been said that nearly 2 out of 3 adults contend that the choice of one's religious faith over another is irrelevant because all faiths basically teach the same lessons about life. And now David Kinnaman, who's the vice president of Barna Research Group, he kind of a famous group there, he says that millions of teens are precariously close to simply shelving the Christian faith as irrelevant, uninspiring, and just a phase. You see, it seems to me today that the word irrelevant seems to be taking on a theme, if you will, in our culture and in society's attitude towards Christianity. And if you and I are not careful, we'll sacrifice the truth of Scripture for relevancy. And I don't think we have to. And this morning I want to talk to us just a little bit about the realm of relevance. The realm of relevance. I think that we can be relevant, and we can be relevant, one, first and foremost, because we're connected. We're connected to a God who loves us and who cares for us through the great intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? All right, we're Pentecostal. Hallelujah. You can talk to me this morning. We are connected to God. And because we're connected to God, we're commissioned. We're commissioned to know him. We're commissioned to know his love. We're commissioned to know the word of God. We're commissioned to experience him, if you will. Now, how many of you have ever seen a roller coaster? How many of you have ever ridden on a roller coaster? Now, how many of you know that reading about a roller coaster is entirely different than riding a roller coaster? Now, there's some of you here, you read about coming to AGTS. You read about some of the professors that you were going to have. Yeah, okay. You read about some of the things and some of the demands and some of the pressures that were going to be upon you. But it wasn't until you actually took that class, until you enrolled and got immersed in the culture, if you will, of seminary, that you really began to experience seminary life. You really begin to experience that class. You really begin to experience that professor or that teacher. And I want you to know, after a semester's time of working with a certain professor, you're going to know what they like and don't like. And God is telling you and I that we need to spend the kind of time with him that will allow you and I to know him in the most intimate way. Jesus even said in John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" How can you say that? You and I, we're supposed to spend that time with God to know him more, and then be able to share the story in its simplest form so that all may come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 14, it says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him." Can I ask you, have we been the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ? If the Lord were to allow you to look at yourself, if the Holy Spirit were to give you a spiritual mirror this morning and allow you to see yourself as he sees you, what do you smell like this morning? Are we becoming that fragrance that comes from the knowledge of Christ? The one who's been leading us in triumphal procession, it says, as someone who has taken victor over the enemy and leading victoriously. Isn't Jesus Christ the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and leads us victoriously? Sure he is. And you know, that word fragrance really kind of stood out to me when I began to study this passage. And you know, in Greek studies, you find that word order is important. And that word for fragrance was osme. And that word wasn't at the end of the sentence. It was more like at the beginning of the second half of the sentence. So Paul wants you and I to know that the fragrance is important. He wants you and I to know that we need to smell like something that's a sweet aroma is more of what it means. We need to have that sweet smelling savor to God and even those that are around us. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is if we're connected to a God who cares about us. But not only do we need to be connected to God, but we need to be connected because we need the counsel of the Holy Spirit that was provided for through the cross of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 7, he said, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." If I go, I will send him to you. The counselor will come. The parakletos is going to come. The helper, the advocate, the comforter. Isn't it comforting when you know that someone's on your side? I mean, that's almost as good as if you're taking the final exam and somebody's there helping you with all the answers, and it's legal. You know, it doesn't quite work that way, but that's, God is there. He's on your side. He's there to help us. And you know what? I've never been disappointed when I've taken time out for God. You know, oftentimes in the midst of study are the stresses of life. If we're not careful and allow God to prioritize our lives and the things we do, we'll get burnout. Now, some of us have been there before, and some of us are right on the precipice. We're ready to jump off, and some of us have never been there. But when we take time for God, he allows the priorities of our life to realign themselves and help us down the path of life and strengthens us along the way. And because we're connected, there's a sensitivity. There's even a hunger to be led by the Spirit of Almighty God. But you see, the challenge is in our connectedness. How well are you connected today? Have you let it kind of gone a little bit far back? Have you kind of looked at God at a distance? You know, it's easy. If I'm talking to somebody and I'm right up close to them, I'm not going to be distracted hardly at all because I'm focused on them. I'm going to talk to Jay. You know, and I'm focusing on him, and I really don't notice the people that are over there. But you know, the farther away I get from Jay, the farther away I get from Jesus, you know, I see some friends back there. Hold on. I'll be with you in a minute. I'll be with you. But I just wanted to say hi. And I see some more folks over here. You know, I begin to get distracted when I get farther away from Jesus Christ. And the object lesson here is not to see how far away we can get while we're getting ready to back off into a precipice, but the object is to draw as close as we can to the King of Kings and be led by the Spirit of Almighty God. And no matter where we are, we'll be relevant. We'll be educated to the educated. We'll be seeker-sensitive to the unchurched. We'll be traditional for the holiness people. It doesn't matter what situation you're in. When you're led of the Spirit of Almighty God and you can hear the still small voice that says, this is the way, walk ye in it, you'll be relevant. You'll be relevant. But we've got to be connected. You know, it's kind of like the story of the wealthy woman who was very frugal that lived in Ireland on the seashore. And they didn't have electricity, and they heard the news that electricity was coming to town, up the seashore. All her friends were surprised that she wanted to have electricity in her home. They got it hooked up. About 3 weeks later, the meter reader came up to her house, knocked on the door, and said, ma'am, I just wanted to check and see how your electricity was working. She said, oh, it's fabulous. He said, well, ma'am, can you help me understand something here? I read the meter. There's hardly anything on the meter. Are you sure there's not something wrong? Are you sure it's working okay? She goes, oh, yes, it's working great. She said, every night I turn the lights on just long enough to light the candles, and then I turn it back out. You know, we don't need to live a life like that. We don't need to have the scripture and the knowledge of the Word of God, but not be able to stand up on it. We need to experience it and know that He's still a healing God, to know that He's still in the delivering business, to know that He still loves you and I and cares about every aspect of our lives. He knows the things that each and every one of us are going through. But we've got to stay connected to Him. And not only are we going to be relevant because we're connected, but we're going to stay relevant because we're conduits. Conduits. You say, Marshall, what do you mean we're conduits? Well, you know, a conduit kind of is just a pipe that provides protection and allows something inside, safe travel, whatever it may be. But in the spiritual world, we're a little bit different. The Lord began to deal with me and speak to me that we are conduits that care about the things of God. You see, because we're led of the Holy Spirit, we have a sensitivity. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 13, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will tell us. He will lead us. He will guide us. And because we care, we study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, King James says. 2 Timothy 2:15. You see, we're seeking to have the fragrance, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's a fragrance that comes with knowing that. Have you ever been in the presence of someone that you don't even have to ask? You just know they've been in the presence of the King. The disciples were like that. Some of them, they just knew they'd been in the presence of the Lord. You and I need to strive to have that kind of connection and commitment and be that kind of a conduit that people know, even when they get close to us, that we've been in the presence of the King. That there's something about us. What do you know? What do you have that I don't have, that I need? Yet striving all the while to share the simplicity of the gospel, that even the simple will be able to grasp the message that Jesus Christ loves them for who they are. But in order to do that, we've got to dig down and find the source of our strength. Amen? The source of our strength is Jesus Christ. It's kind of like that old expression that the tree can only grow as tall as the roots grow deep. You ever heard that one? You know, when the roots aren't very deep, the winds come, the storms come, and the tree blows down. But when the roots go deep, they can stand the test of time. They can stand the storms. Can I tell you something? That ministry is a little bit dirty. Can I tell you that when you get down in the trenches to pull people out, you're going to get a little bit dirty, maybe. It's not a lot of fun sometimes. But you know what? If you're in ministry for your own self-ambitions, then that's probably not ministry. Ministry is about serving others and helping others and leading them to a God that cares for them. But in order to stand the test of time, we've got to dig down deep. You know, we happened to be in New York, in Manhattan last week. And we got to go by and see Ground Zero. Everybody's talked about Ground Zero. What a travesty that was when the Twin Towers came down. But you know, they didn't build that on flat ground. They dug down deep. It said they had to dig down 65 feet just to find bedrock. And then they began to dig and pour the foundations for those towers. And we got to see them excavating way down in this hole. They planned with care. They took the time. They did whatever it took to build things right. And you and I, we need to care enough about this thing called the gospel of Jesus Christ to build it right. Build the ministry right. Do what's necessary. Hold fast. Set our face like a flint. And you know what? Sometimes God says, after you've done all you can do, sometimes we just need to stand and know that God's still God. Know that he's still on the throne. And know that if he doesn't come through, God, I don't know what's going to happen because I don't have the answers, because I'm tired, because I'm just flesh and blood. But we've built the foundation strong, and we know that we're supposed to wait on him, and he will give the answer because we cared enough. And we need to be the kind of conduits, lastly, that are committed to the cause of Christ. In verse 15, it said this, "For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task?" We're the aroma of Christ. It doesn't matter whether you're with your Christian friends. And it said there are studies that show that within 3 to 5 years, we don't have any more non-Christian friends. It doesn't matter whether you're there with Christian friends or with non-Christian people. They know there's something different about you. There's something different about you. There's an aroma. It's a sweet-smelling something about you that's different. Are you different? Are you different? That's what differentiates us from the world. We can study and know all the right answers, and it just be another job. We don't need somebody who's looking for just another job. We need somebody who's filled with the knowledge and the power of the Holy Spirit, that's not afraid to speak under the unction of the Holy Ghost. We need to have power, not just talk about it. We need to have experienced it, because when you experience it, you know it's real. In chapel at headquarters this morning, Brother Bueno was talking about the things that Latin American child care and all the miraculous things that happened there. Have you ever experienced a miracle? Doesn't that make you more of a believer that God is still in the miracle working business than before you got the miracle? When you experience him, you know that it's true, and you'll hold on for all that you're worth. Verse 16, as we just read, it goes on to tell us that we're the smell of life to those that are saved, the smell of death to those that are perishing. It's a fragrance. It's a fragrance. It's something that you and I need to long for. That fragrance that's pleasing to God. That fragrance that if we're not careful, it will dissipate. It takes a little work in your relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how holy you are. I don't care what kind of ministry you're in, what God's called you to. If you don't maintain a relationship with Jesus Christ, the fragrance will dissipate over time. You know, I'm not sure that Bill Hybels wasn't right when he said that the biggest problem that we have in society today is moralism. You see, we've decided if we're going to be successful, if we just get the right job, we get the right spouse, we get a couple great kids, we get that right job pulling down six-figure salary, you know what? We're doing things right. We know how to cross every T and dot every I. And you know what? If we just add Jesus to that life sandwich, we have just put the icing on the cake. Can I tell you something? Jesus doesn't want to be the last layer on anyone's life sandwich. He wants to be your life sandwich. Hallelujah. He wants to be all that he wants to permeate everything within your life. And that's our challenge in the church, to show people the need that they have for the gospel of Jesus Christ. How much more their life could be, the wholeness that they could experience, the shalom peace, which isn't just peace, it's a state of being. How much more joy they could have if they allowed Jesus Christ to permeate every aspect of their lives. You know what? Moralism even affects the church. Abraham Lincoln, one time when he was describing the difference between character and reputation, he said, "Character is like a tree. And reputation is like its shadow. Everyone talks about the shadow, but the tree is the real thing. And you know, in the church, sometimes we get our eyes on the shadow of success. You know, when it's hot, where do we want to be? In the shade. When we see the wonderful fruit and know that the sweet nectar, the taste that comes from that fruit, we get our eyes on the fruit, success. What is success in the church? See, God wants you and I to get our eyes off the fruit, to get our eyes off the shadow. He wants us to be like that tree in Psalms chapter 1:1-3. It talks about we'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We'll bring forth fruit in its season. That tree, when we begin to dig down deep with those roots we talked about a minute ago, you see the fruit and the shadow and all that kind of stuff, all the blessings of God, that's just a byproduct of a relationship with Him. And He's called you and I to dig deeper still. Don't you dare be satisfied with where you are in Jesus Christ right now. Don't you dare be satisfied. Be hungry. Pray that God would stir up a hunger in you that you've never had before. Because when we do that, we'll start smelling like fish. I hope you stink today. I hope you stink like fish today. You know why? Because fish don't think fish stink. And Jesus called us to be fishermen and fisher ladies. He's called us to go after the fish. I've never stepped on a fishing boat that didn't smell like fish. We need to smell like fish. And you see that fragrance that although it may stink to the world, that sweet fragrance that we read about in our passage of Scripture, it provides a point of connection to those that don't know Jesus. It helps us to connect with them and allows us to have room for relevance. And that relevance makes room for truth. You see, as we begin to have that sweet aroma, you've sensed stepping in an elevator after someone with some nice cologne or perfume has just left. They're not even there. But the aroma, it still lingers. And in the people that we meet, even after we've been long gone, the aroma can linger. The things the Lord has prompted us to say can linger because we're connected and we're conduits, allowing Him to speak through us. And because we're committed, we're going to finish what we start. We're committed to the gospel. We're committed to this thing called study. We're committed to God. We're committed to the end. You know, I don't know about you. I close with this. But I love the smell of fresh bread. You know, when I was a kid growing up, we were raised on a farm in central Missouri, originally from Texas, but we moved up here. Why, I don't know. But anyway, Mom was a great cook. And you know, there were times when she would bake homemade bread. And you know, you didn't have to tell any of us kids that bread was in the oven. That smell just kind of fills the whole house. That's kind of like when somebody's fixing popcorn at your workplace and you're starving. Doesn't that just drive you nuts? You can smell it. It could be three floors away and you still smell that buttered popcorn. You can just see the butter dripping off of it. But boy, when Mom would be able to make that bread, and as soon as it came out of the oven, we couldn't wait to come down and get a slice and put way too much butter on it and eat as much as we could. You see, you and I, we need to be the cauldrons of the balm of Gilead, the oil of gladness, helping people come into a place of spiritual wholeness, where they can experience their relationship with Jesus Christ and the fragrance that God so wants to permeate their lives with. But you see, we'll never be able to do it unless we stay connected and we stay conduits of God's grace. God longs for you and I to be relevant in whatever sphere we are. And when we allow the Holy Spirit of God to lead us and guide us because of the fact that we do care and we are connected, the Holy Spirit will lead us into a realm of relevancy that we've never known. You know, it won't matter what situation you find yourself in. It won't matter what congregation you stand in front of. It won't matter the crowds of people that are amassed before you. You'll be relevant. You'll know what to say because the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Helper, has come to help you and come to help me. Father, we come to you, Lord, this morning in the precious name of Jesus. And I want the musicians to come back. I'm just going to take a little bit of time. This morning, maybe the fragrance in your life isn't what it should be. Maybe the Lord's been speaking to you. Maybe there's just some things that have gone on in your life. You know, maybe there's been some tragedy even in your life. You know, God loves to heal the wounded soldiers. He loves to restore what the cankerworm and the locust have eaten. His eyes search to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. The word says. And this morning, I just want to take a little bit of time. Some may need to go, some may not. But I just feel like that this morning, perhaps you've sensed a special call and you just want prayer this morning. Perhaps you just need to touch the hem of his garment. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, we just want to enter in this morning, God. We just want to touch the throne of heaven. Father, we need you. Lord, we want to be the sweet-smelling fragrance that makes a difference. Lord, that is a light in the darkness. God, that can permeate every situation, Lord, because we're connected to you, Lord, and we're conduits. It's not of us. It's not in our own doing. But, Lord, it's the Spirit of the living God, hallelujah, that's allowing the aroma of Christ to flow through us. Lord, would you bathe us in your presence this morning as we seek your face.